Happy New Year and welcome to a brand new edition of Coding 101. This time we're bringing you into PHP.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Coding 101 is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Coding 101 is brought to you by Squarespace. Creating and editing your website is easier than ever using their redesigned interface, Squarespace 7, which includes integrations with Getty Images and Google Apps, new templates, and more. Try the new Squarespace 7 at squarespace.com and enter offer code C101 at checkout to get 10% off. And by lynda.com. Invest in yourself for 2015. Lynda.com has thousands of courses to help you learn new tech, business, and creative skills. For a free 10-day trial, visit lynda.com/C101. That's lynda.com/C101. Welcome to Coding 101. It's the TWiT show where we let you into the wonderful world of the code monkey. I'm Father Robert Ballasaire, and this Groot-looking man over here is Patrick Delante.
Yes, I'm glad to be back.
I know. You were here for Pearl, and you Pearled this all up.
And then I told my life story in episode 42.
That's right. So you've been a big part of Coding 101. We've changed formats a little bit because people said, you know what, we'd like to see project-based stuff. We want to see more of the stuff that will help us in our actual programming lives. So you're going to give us a two-episode segment on PHP.
Yeah. The first one, we'll go over some of the basics, and then the next episode, we'll get into a little bit of project
stuff. Some of the fun stuff, yeah. Now, the nice thing about PHP is I actually learned it without ever taking any sort of class, without ever looking at anything, just looking at PHP code and going, oh, okay, I kind of recognize that. That looks like a loop. That's an index. Yeah. So it's one of these things where you can really get in and just start hammering at it until it does what you want it to do.
Yeah, coming from a Perl background, learning PHP was so easy because a lot of it's the same. And then it's just like, oh, that's how it works. Oh, that's easy. I can do that.
Fantastic. Before we get into that, do you mind if we take some time to talk about a few of the things that I think are going on around the world of programming that maybe our audience might be interested in?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
The first one is about a business in New York. It's based in New York. It's called Andela. Now, this firm is doing something very interesting. They have gone to Nigeria, and they're teaching Nigerians how to program. Now, there are some people who are a little suspicious here, because essentially what they've done is they've created a four-month training program. Nigerians come in, they get tested for their aptitude. If they're good, if they're a good fit for programming, they'll go ahead and train them. And after those 4 months, they'll be able to place them as a contractor with a U.S. business. Now, Patrick, how does that strike you?
Well, teaching people programming is always a good thing. And these are skills that they can learn and use the rest of their lives, and it sure beats going out mining tin.
It does, yeah. Now, there are people who are crying foul here. They're saying, oh, this is just exploitation. And I get it, because, yeah, you have to pay a coder in Nigeria a whole lot less than you have to pay them in even India, and definitely less than the United States. But here's the thing. I looked at the entire interview that they had with the founders of this company, and I like their philosophy. Essentially what they said is, programming, the skill for programming, the aptitude for coding, it's not limited to the developed world. It's all about the way that someone thinks, and that's equally distributed among the world's population. So what they're doing is they're going to Nigeria, and they're finding those people who have the aptitude for programming, and then they're giving them marketable skills.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that.
There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. The story kind of holds a nice, close place to my own heart, because this is essentially what I did in Bolivia and in the south side of Milwaukee. It was the same idea. In Milwaukee, we actually reached out to the south side, so gang members, and we brought gang members into a program. It was a four-month program, and we taught them to do web development. So, you know, we taught them HTML. We taught them PHP. Then, it was Java and just starting to do Ruby. But what I found was it wasn't necessarily the skills per se, because if they were in the program, they had the ability to have the skills. it was opening a new world to people who didn't know that that kind of a professional life was in the cards for them.
Yeah, and these people may be doing something on a contract basis for a corporation now, but later on they might make the next Flappy Bird. So,
which, by the way, was made by a developer in Vietnam. So, I mean, you never know when the next great idea is going to come from. That's one of the wonderful things about this new world that we have powered by the internet, which is ideas don't have to come from a monolithic corporation. Right. They don't have to come from a government. The next great idea might come from a kid in his bedroom who learned from a couple of books or maybe an online course and said, hey, why don't we do this?
Yeah, and a lot of people struggle with school. They might struggle with their real-world job, but then they do something on the side, and then they make that into a career, and maybe that's what these people can do as well.
Right, right. Now, we do have one public service announcement. This is the new year, so we're here on the 8th of January, but we had to pre-record this at the end of 2014 because of CES and the break and all that other stuff. I'm not supposed to tell you that, so please don't tell Leo that I just told you that we're going back in time because I'd get in trouble. Yeah, shh. This is, though.
Be cool. Be cool.
Be cool. Be cool. No, but there is a public service announcement in that if you have not yet updated your Git, do it. There was a critical vulnerability that was found in the GitHub client and the GitHub services. So essentially, anything that touches Git, that's the code repository that we actually use here for Coding 101, you're going to have to replace it. You're going to have to update it. The update is available for you right now. This is a remote code arbitrary command execution exploit, which essentially means that somebody could make your computer run things that it's not supposed to run. That's like worst case scenario.
Let me update that right now.
Yeah, go ahead and upgrade your Git. What they figured out was that somebody could arbitrarily create a malformed Git tree and overwrite its own config file. And that's, as we know, whenever you do that in memory, if you can overwrite the entire thing and overflow the buffer, you now spill out into execution space in the memory, and then they could remotely place an instruction that would open your computer to hacks. So, yeah, don't do that. Yeah. Get that replaced.
Yeah. You think people at Sony ought to look into that?
Let's not talk about Sony anymore. It's 2015.
Yeah, that was like a month ago now.
Right, so. Right. When we come back, we're going to go ahead and dive into PHP. You wanted it, so we're going to give it to you. But before we do that, let's go ahead and take a moment to talk about the first sponsor of the first episode of Coding 101 in 2015. You know them. You love them. It's the easiest way to get your portfolio online. It's Squarespace. Now, what is Squarespace? Squarespace is where you go if you've got a project, if you've got a website, if you've got photos that you want the world to see. Squarespace recently launched the latest version of their platform, Squarespace 7, the completely redesigned interface that makes it even easier to create your own professional website or online portfolio. Oh, here's why you're going to love Squarespace. They've added a bunch of new features in 7, including my personal favorite, live editing on one screen. Now, you know what it's like to try to reprogram your website. You make a change, and then you save it, and then you preview it. You go back and forth until you find it just right. Well, you don't have to do that with Squarespace 7 because they give you a live view. It will show you in real time what the changes you're making will do to your layout. Squarespace also gives you 14 new designs, giving you now over 30 to choose from. And Cover Pages is new with Squarespace 7, which lets you choose from 10 new templates. You can add these to any existing Squarespace site, which means it's perfect for creating quick landing pages. Squarespace 7 also gives you access to Getty Images right in the interface. For just $10 each, you can pick from thousands of high-quality professional Getty Images. Add it to your assets and never worry about licensing again. Now, the developer platform is used by some of the world's top digital agencies, and if you're a developer, you can customize your site exactly the way that you want. That's one of the things I love about Squarespace. Yeah, it's easy to use, but it also gives you the hook if you're a professional who wants to tweak it just a little bit more. Speaking of tweaking it more, e-commerce is now available for all subscription plan levels. You can easily add a storefront to any site and instantly accept payments, and it includes Google Docs integration, which works with Gmail, Google Docs, Sheets, Drive, and Calendar. Plus, Squarespace 7 can easily link branded email accounts to your domain, so you never have to worry about generic emails again. Now, not only that, but Squarespace is going to give you a way to control your site on the go with mobile apps that let you check metrics. You can look at your traffic and see how content is performing, which is an incredibly powerful tool if you are a content creator. Now, all of this would be worthless if it was so expensive that you couldn't afford it. But, of course, that's not Squarespace's groove. It starts at just $8 a month, and Squarespace takes care of the hosting, so you don't have to worry about it. Plus, if you sign up for the entire year, Squarespace will give you a free domain name. Now, start the year off right. Start with a two-week free trial, no credit card required, and build your website. When you decide to sign up for Squarespace, make sure to use the offer code C101 to get 10% off and to show your support for Coding 101. To begin using Squarespace 7, existing customers go to the Settings tab to activate all the new features. We thank Squarespace for their support of Coding 101. Squarespace, start here. Go anywhere. Boom. Now, folks, we know that you have been wanting to check out PHP for a while, and we know that we've been wanting to cover PHP for a while, so we asked this man to come in and show us some of the basics. Now, Patrick, one of the basic questions coming out of the chat room is, why do I want PHP? What does PHP give me that I don't get from something else?
If you're doing a website and you want an easy way to put some sort of interaction on there or have some sort of dynamic data or dynamic presentation, PHP makes it really easy to do that. And it's all server-side, unlike JavaScript. So that means you don't have to rely on the user's browser to process all the data.
Now, we talked about this before when we were talking about Perl.
Yes.
This idea of server-side versus client-side. Really quickly, what we're talking about is where is the code executed?
Yes.
So in a lot of, like JavaScript, it's actually executed on the browser of the client, which means you have to worry about what settings the client has and whether or not their network is going to work the way that you think it's going to work, versus server-side, which does what?
Server-side, it's all computed on the server, and then the results are returned from the server to the user. And so, like JavaScript, you have to worry, like, do they have JavaScript enabled? What happens if they don't? This, everybody, if your server supports PHP, it will work for everybody that's going to that web page.
Right. We decided when we were talking about this module, we didn't want to give you instructions for installing PHP because it's going to differ depending on what host you use. And there are plenty of tutorials on how you enable it on whatever hosting you're using. So I would suggest jump over to YouTube and look at installing PHP. I'm sure you can find it for your particular provider.
Yeah, there's plenty of documentation on this. So we'll let them explain their version on whatever service you're using. And if you're on a web host, it might already have PHP installed. So then in that case, you don't have to do anything. Like on the one I'm using, it was already there. I'm on Dreamhost and didn't have to do anything.
Now, let's assume that they've got PHP installed properly. It's running, so they can just drop code in, and it will execute server-side. Can you show us some basic examples of what's possible and how you do it?
Okay. Well, PHP will put the code in with the HTML, but instead of using an HTML file, you're using .php.
Okay.
And that just tells the server, all right, this is actually PHP code, so execute the PHP code. If I named the file .html, it would just print all the PHP.
Right, right. And what it will do is when you put that .php, it's actually going to parse out the HTML, execute that as HTML, but it's going to say, by the way, there's PHP in here. Make sure you run that on server side.
Yes.
Okay.
So if we can bring up my screen here, I've got the first example, and it's just hello world.
Of course.
And so all it does is it's got the header there, and it says hello world. And if I look at the code for that,
Emacs.
Yes, I'm using Emacs here. And so if you want to zoom in on that, all I'm doing is a
that's an HTML file.
This is
it looks
regular
exactly
HTML
like an HTML file,
top to bottom, except this one line right here. It says question mark PHP echo hello world.
Right.
And
that's just like a tag. So what it's doing is when it gets to there, because remember, you've already told it that it's a PHP file.
Yes.
And now it's looking through the file. It's parsing out all the HTML stuff. It's going to execute that regularly. It's just going to script it out. But when it finds that question mark PHP tag, it's going to go, oh, okay, everything between this and the close tag is the actual script that I'm going to run.
Yes.
All right. And that one's easy because you're just echoing. You're just printing something to screen. Now, okay, so echo, that's a basic. But what else do we got?
Well, I've got a few more examples of that. Let me go to demo 2. This one, I've got Hello World printed four times, but what I did was four different ways to do a print. So here we have a string. I have greeting equals hello world.
And if they've done any of our other modules, this looks very familiar. Yeah. Essentially, what you did is you created a variable, and I'm assuming it's dynamic.
Yeah, for you don't PHP. Have to declare the variables at all. You just use it. You define it like by putting a value in.
Right. So greeting could have been a variable. It could have been an integer. It could have been a floating point. It could have been a string. Yeah. PHP will just say, oh, this is what you want to put in it. That's the type I'm going to make.
It recognizes that this between the quotes is a string. If I put a number, it would know that's an integer. If it's got a decimal in there, it knows. But so it figures out everything on its own. It's a little smart like that.
And Zach, go ahead and go back to that that screen. One of the things that you will notice, again, if you watched our previous modules, it works exactly the same way. Declare the variable, fill the variable with something. In this case, we're filling the variable greeting with the string called hello world, and then we're echoing greeting. Now, in the previous example, you saw that we echoed a particular string. In this particular example, you're saying echo write whatever is in that variable. Because that's one way. What's the next one that you did there?
The next one, well, I just put in a print command. You can go back to the screen.
Yeah, stay on the screen.
Stay on the screen. We'll put a print command. This is just putting HTML in there, so I put it on a new line. And then it prints greeting, and that's the same thing. You'll also notice I've got a comment.
Now, why do we have echo and print? What's the difference?
They're essentially the same.
Exactly.
And it's like the comments. There's another way to do comments. Up above, I have //, and that's for a good one-line comment. But then down here, you can do /*.
Right.
And everything until you do */ is your comment.
Which, if you've ever done HTML programming, I'm going to call it programming. If you've ever done HTML, you know this because that's just an open tag and a closed tag, which is very useful if you're doing multi-line commenting.
And then down here, I've got the third hello world where I've got it all in one line, and I can just put the variable in there with no special treatment. Or down here, I've got a dot. I've taken it out of the quotes. And so that's helpful if you need it put, like you say you want greeting and then you've got some word with no space after it. You don't want it to think that greeting hello is your whole word when it should be greeting, then you put the period and then in quote hello. That way you can tell PHP, okay, it's not one long variable I want to actually put.
Exactly. So the first example you showed us how to echo something out to screen. Very simple, basic print command.
Yes.
And in the second example, you're going to show us a couple of different ways to do the same thing, but with the use of a variable, which we've learned from all of our modules. Once you add variables, you have options because that variable means the program can do more than one thing.
Yeah. So we'll look at demo 3. Let me bring up the web page first. We'll go demo 3. I probably should have put links. Oh, look. Let's do math.
Okay. Math is good.
Math is fun because this is variables with integers, and we can just do math functions. So if we look at the code down here, I've got the HTML that says let's math, and then it goes into the PHP code. I set x equals 2, y equals 6, and then z is x plus y, and it echoes x plus y equals z.
Yeah. And again, looking at what you've written there, you've got a simple declaration of a variable using the dollar sign. So we declare a variable x, declare a variable y, declare a variable z, and then we fill x with 2, we fill y with 6, and here's the fun part, we fill the variable z with x plus y, which, you know, that's cool, because now it means that if we change either of those two first variables, it's automatically going to change the third one. So also, we've got a question in the chat room from a dealer, from DLR. He wants to know, well, I don't think that the /* works in HTML.
No.
That's the point. Remember, when you put that tag for PHP, the parser is going to know this is no longer HTML, this is now PHP.
Yes.
That's where the tag works.
Yeah, in HTML, it's a different tag for comments.
Exactly. But just remember, it looks like an HTML file, but where you see that question mark PHP tag, essentially what you're saying is everything between this and the close tag treat like PHP, execute on the server side.
And so if I change the plus to divide, or I can change it to multiply, let me save that, and we'll reload the page. So let's see, 2 divided by 6 will give us 0.333333, and then it just gives up.
Right. So we've got strings, we've got simple printing, now we've got math. Where do we go next?
go to demo 4, and I've got if statements. So we've defined variables, and now we can actually compare them. So let's compare. 2 is less than 6. And so if we look at the code
we know this is where it gets really useful, because when I can start comparing values, it means that I can actually make it do something. It can make a decision.
So I've got the same two variables, x and y. And then here I'm just doing if x is greater than y, then echo out x is greater than y.
And hopefully people are noticing that even though this is PHP, this if-then-else statement looks a lot like all the other if-then-else statements that we've used in C#, in Perl. And that's the whole point, right?
And one difference between PHP and Perl and other languages is how they handle else-if, which is why I wanted to include an example of that here. In PHP, it's else-if, one word.
Right.
Some languages have else-if, two words, and then there's elif in some. So.
Right. But I mean, the structure is the same, and the idea is the same. All you got to do is learn the vocabulary for that particular language, which I love. Now let's go on with the examples in just a little bit. But before we do that, I want to take another break to talk about the second sponsor of this first episode of Coding 101. Now, PHP is great. PHP is wonderful. But we're not going to be able to give you all of the learning about PHP that you're going to want. This is a 2-episode module where basically we're going to introduce you to PHP, and then we're going to give you a little something fun in the next episode. I'm sure that there's going to be those of you who are going to say, I want something a bit more substantial. I want to get learned up. I want to fill my knowledge hole.
Yeah, after you can see this, this is something I want to learn more of.
Which is why you're going to go to lynda.com.
Yeah.
Now, lynda.com is your one-stop shop, the place on the internet that's going to serve as the place where you learn new things or refresh your old knowledge. Kickstart your new year. I mean, this is 2015. It's a brand new opportunity for you to start anew. Why not start with lynda.com? It's going to challenge you. It's going to give you something to learn. And with a free 10-day trial, it's a no-brainer. Lynda.com is used by millions of people around the world. It has over 3,000 courses on topics like web development, photography, visual design, and business, as well as software training like Excel, WordPress, and Photoshop. All of their courses are taught by experts, and new courses are added to the site each and every single week. What's your plan for the new year? Do you want to improve your job skills, to ask your boss for a raise? Do you want to impress people with all of the new skills that you've acquired? Do you want to make yourself more marketable to find a new job? Are you looking to explore a new hobby, set new financial goals, or find a better balance in life? Well, folks, that all starts with knowledge, and knowledge is what lynda.com is about. Some of the courses and videos that I recommend are programming with iOS. People have been asking about iOS and whether or not we're going to cover it. Well, of course we are. But if you're anxious, why not jump into lynda.com, because it's there right now. They've also got foundations of programming. If you've got kids who want to start learning, they've got programs and videos that are specifically tuned for young coders. They've also got Code Clinic. It's an innovative series where each month lynda.com issues a code challenge and authors share their solutions using a variety of different programming languages. It's like the nirvana of coding. Give me a problem and I'm going to show you as many different ways I have to solve it. They've also got Swift Essential Training if you want to get in on Apple's newest language. Now, I've been using lynda.com not just as a place where I can learn up on new languages, but also where I can find reference. So anytime I forget about how to do something in C#, or if I need reference for Java, or if I need to go back into PHP, lynda.com has got it for me because they've got searchable transcripts. I don't have to work through an entire video series. I can type in what I'm looking for, and lynda.com will take me right there. Do something good for yourself in 2015. Folks, sign up for your free 10-day trial. Why not? You got nothing to lose. You got nothing to pay. Try it. Try lynda.com by visiting lynda.com/C101. When you do, you'll get unlimited access to every course on lynda.com, including access to view tutorials on iOS and Android devices, plus access to the new courses added each and every single week. That's lynda.com/C101. To try it free for 10 days. And go ahead. I challenge you to learn something new in 2015 with lynda.com. And we thank lynda.com for their support of Coding 101. All right, so we're moving, we're grooving, we're getting the basics.
Yes.
Where do we go next?
Case.
I like Case. Let's do Case. Yes. Refresh people. For people who don't remember what Case was when we covered it, I think we did it in this first C# module. What are we doing?
It's a fancy if statement, really.
Yeah, that's all it is.
It's a series of ifs. And so in my latest example, I have a page that tells me what show is playing. Says, what show is this? Coding 101 is now airing. And if we look at my script, it's really not that smart because I've declared code as the show. Now, if this was more complicated, I could actually go out and do some things on the Twit schedule.
We're trying to keep it simple.
But then it would return the value code. And the question is, how do I handle that?
Yeah.
That's what I'm showing off here.
Well, you're showing them a decision engine.
Yes.
So if you had some sort of data set and you knew the values that data set could return, you could use Case to trigger an action based on which of those options return to you. Now, for example, here at Twit, we know the names of all of our shows. So if we had, say, a web page that played in real time and had the name of the show, we could use this to scrape off the name of the show and then trigger an action whenever coding started or know-how started.
Or when we have the new website, there's an API, we can return that, and somebody could have something like this, where if we look at the code, it has a switch command, and then it uses the variable show. And then the case statement, just if it matches AAA, it's all about Android. Then it breaks, which means, okay, I'm done with the case statement.
Fantastic.
And then it goes on for Arena, BYB, Code, Floss, etc. And then down at the end, there's a default one for, I don't know this show.
Which is important, because we always want to give it the other option. Because otherwise, it means it could just sit there. It'll just wait. None of these cases match. You want there to be a line that says, if none of these match, this is the decision you make.
And that's very important with PHP, because it's running on a web page. So you have to plan for every situation, because there's going to be that guy. Because
There's no way to reset the server. It's not like restarting your browser. You just hung a server that's in a data center somewhere.
Yeah, or there's going to be that guy filling out the form. You say, enter a number 1 to 10, and he types berries.
Because that will happen. Like, sorry.
What?
Exceptions. But, always plan for exceptions.
And so this one, if I didn't have that default answer, it would just say, is now airing. With no show name.
All right. Hey, we got one more, right?
Yes, there's one more example, and this is where it starts to get a little tricky.
We want to have a little bit of a challenge here.
Yeah, let me bring up the demo form. My window is too small. Demo form 1A.
Oh, okay. So, okay. Data entry. Okay.
This is like 6 Perl modules to get this far.
Exactly. Now, this is huge. This is huge because before we were just displaying.
Yes.
And we were making decisions, but we were making decisions based on information found elsewhere. Now you're showing us how we can actually take in information from the user.
Yes. I'm getting input from the user in this one, and this is how high should we count? Enter a number. So I'm going to say 35. And if we look at the code for this before I actually submit it, 1A, there we go. So this is just HTML. There's no PHP on this page whatsoever. But you will notice that in the form declaration line, the action, I've got demo form 1B.php.
Right.
That means that when I submit, it's going to do a get, which is this method here, and it will submit it to the demo form 1b.php. Yeah.
And this is actually the way you should be doing it. Just like we did in the last module in C#, you kind of want to keep the main page as clean as possible. So if you can call pages that do specific things, that's always a good idea.
And it certainly is possible to have PHP call the same page it's on.
Right.
But then there's a little more processing you have to do. And for this example, I'm keeping it simple. So I'm going to submit this form. How high should we count? Submit.
Go ahead and zoom back. There you go.
Yep. And so now, if you look way over on the left, it's counting.
And so this is just a loop.
All the way down to 35.
It counted all the way to 35, right? And it printed out each and every single time.
And so I could have had this process something else. But if we look at the code here, 1B, it's very short code. It didn't take much to do that.
No, it's just a loop.
It sets the limit variable. limit equals underscore get, and then it's square bracket number.
So get is the way that you tell it to take data from the user on the screen.
Yes, and because it's get, that means I submit it as a get in the form.
Right, right.
And that means it's up in the URL. So if we look at the URL up here, we can see at the end.
Go ahead and zoom back out.
Yeah, if we zoom out way up to the top, we can see number equals 35.
Right.
A get, as we explained in the Perl module, will put it as part of the URL.
Right.
And it will, yeah. The first one, it'll have a question mark, and then variable name equals value. Mm-hmm. And if there's any more, it'll put an ampersand between them. So if there's another one, it would say ampersand name equals Fred, and so on.
So you could actually change this right now without having to go back to the interface. You could change that number. Go back to that page, Zach. You could change that number to say, like, 40. And
40.
You wouldn't. Yeah, there you go. It would count from 1 to 40.
Yeah, so that's 1 to 40.
Yeah.
And so we'll go back to the code down here, and all it's doing is a while loop, which is another thing to show up here. We've got while count, which is a variable that's not set, is less than limit. So the limit we had, in this case, it was 40. So while that value is less than 40, echo the count. So this is just echoing the number of the count. So it's counting 1 to 40. And then
that's just an increment. And count, the variable name plus plus means add one every time we run this.
And I could have done count equals count plus one, but plus plus is a nice shorthand way to do it.
Same way to do it.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
And like any language, there's multiple ways to do anything. And this is...
This is one of the reasons why I like PHP so much, because it does feel kind of mythical for a lot of people. Like, oh, I can't change PHP. But we've already been able to do more in just a couple of minutes of looking at PHP than we did in, I think, like the first four episodes of Perl?
Yeah.
Or the first three episodes of C#. It's a very simple language to learn.
And the advantage of PHP over Perl is it can do it right in the web page.
Exactly.
With Perl, you had to have a separate script that would print out all the HTML, or you'd have the HTML somehow embed the Perl if your server supported that sort of thing with server-side includes. It's complicated, right. But most web hosts will support PHP. Yeah. Check with your local web host.
Just to make sure.
Yeah. But if they do, you can go and try this right now and just copy in a simple thing of Perl or PHP.
Or PHP. You can do Perl too.
And have it running.
Patrick, thank you so very much. I mean, again,
pleasure.
We asked for a really basic PHP module. This is a really basic PHP module. What we would suggest for you folks is all of this code is going to be available. We're going to make it available in downloadable form. It's going to be a zip file so that you can take it. It will work out of the box as long as you put it onto a server that has PHP configured correctly. So what you may want to do is go ahead and look for a provider that will have that. And most will. I mean, I'm serious. If you've got a provider, they've probably got a way for you to enable PHP. Patrick, what are we going to do next time?
Next time, we're actually going to modify an image.
Oh.
So we're taking a giant leap. But it's all through PHP.
All through PHP.
Really easy.
Fantastic. Folks, don't forget that you can always find out more about each and every single episode by going to our show page. Just go to twit.tv/code, and there you will find all of the episodes. We talk about our previous modules a lot. Well, in those previous modules, you'll be able to learn whatever it was that we covered in C#, in Perl. It's part of the corpus of knowledge that we're slowly building up. If you want to figure out how PHP stacks up against C#, download those episodes, and you can figure out just by watching or looking at those show notes. Besides, those show notes will also have the links either to our GitHub or to the downloads for the zip files that contain things like Santa's Little Helper from the last module or Patrick's examples for PHP. Also, don't forget that you can find us on YouTube at youtube.com/twitcoding101. We don't actually get a lot of traffic to our YouTube page because most people like to download, but we offer it because we want you to have options when you decide to watch Coding 101. Also, don't forget that you can find us on our Google Plus page. Just go to plus.google.com/twitcoding101. It's a strong group, and it's filled with expert, intermediate, and beginner programmers, so you'll find a way to fit into the community. In other words, no matter what your experience level, you'll either be able to contribute something or ask something and get the juices flowing. Also, don't forget that you can find me on Twitter at twitter.com/PadreSJ. It's probably the best way to figure out what I'm going to be doing during the week or what topics we'll be covering. Finally, I want to thank you, Patrick Delahanty, for being our code warrior.
Oh, my pleasure. Good to be back.
I work with you every day, and so any chance I get to have you on any of my shows, I will do it each and every single time.
And I love being on shows.
And can you tell the folks where they find you? You've got a couple of things you work on other than Twit.
Yeah, I've got a website called animecons.com or fancons.com, which lists all of the fan conventions that are coming up. And so if you're looking for one in 2015, it's a good place to go, fancons.com.
Yeah, you've also got a thing where you torture toys.
Oh, yeah. The Chibi Project. If you just go to adequate.com, I've got links to all that stuff. And, yeah, we do a podcast where we torture toys.
You've got a Twitter address, right?
Yes, at P. Delahanty.
Follow him, folks. If you like his knowledge, throw him some love, say hi. Follow him and say, hey, you know what? I saw you on Coding 101.
Yeah, maybe I'll post some Groot photos.
Groot. Yeah, oh, yeah.
Dancing
you gotta
baby
see
Groot.
The dancing Groot. Until next time, he's Patrick Delahanty. I'm Father Robert Ballester. This has been Coding 101. End of life.